Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. This is Penny Sansevieri with my ever awesome co-host, Amy Cornell. And I know I get excited about every show. I was listening back to some of our shows, Amy, and almost every single time that we do a show, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited about the show. These people must think, our listeners must think, Penny just gets excited about everything. Like, what must it be like to be inside her head? Very scary. Let me just tell you that. Just tell you that right now. Amy's worked with me long enough that she can probably attest to that. But this was a show that I'm going to let Amy kind of talk about the origin story of it, reaching the hard to reach reader. And I think we spend a lot of time talking about, okay, you have to get, you know, let's talk about social media. Let's talk about your website. Let's talk about this. But we don't really talk about this hard to reach reader, which in the majority of cases, I would suspect is going to be the slightly older reader. I mean, Amy, share everybody how we kind of came to this show idea.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, definitely. Okay. So there's a few different paths that kind of converged with this, and which is always exciting. So one, you know, obviously authors reach out to us every once in a while. We definitely get a really solid genre fiction book that when we really think about it, the, you know, low hanging fruit in a good way, reader, the people that are most likely to click by with the least amount of convincing are not always going to be people that are on social media and doing all the things and jumping on trends and, you know, paying attention to what Amazon throws in their face when they get on to shop and things like that. And it really got us thinking about, okay, obviously, but on the flip side of that, I will say a lot of those people, like you said, Penny, tend to be a little bit older, but also tend to be super readers. Like, these are people that are buying and consuming a lot of books. Yeah. So it's definitely not a market you want to sleep on or just throw your hands up and go, well, I guess I can't do anything about it. I'll keep my fingers crossed. You know, we're in marketing. That's not the answer to anything. And as we were brainstorming, I thought, you know, this makes a lot of sense. And I can relate to this, especially because I thought about my father. You know, he reads a lot. He probably reads at least 6 to 12 books a month. And wow, he goes through them, and he's a big genre fiction. He's big into thrillers, things like that. He definitely but he also reads nonfiction, historical things as well. But he's a big reader. And I was like, wow, if somebody got his attention, if an author writes a good book and gets his attention, I mean, those are guaranteed rebuys. You know what I mean? My dad will buy every book you release after that, once he's enjoyed one of your books. And I think those are the kind of readers every author hopes they can get in front of, right?
Yeah.
Like those guaranteed rebuy super fans that are like, yep, okay, just let me know next time you release a book and that's a guaranteed sale. Like, that is where the money is for all authors. You know what I mean? Those easy resales to people that have already read some of your work.
Well, and I think that as writers, we don't often consider that. We don't often consider that there's this type of marketing to reach your, you know, millennials or your Gen Xers. And then there's another type of marketing to reach the boomers who are reading like your dad, who are just reading a lot of books. And it's not even really about, well, you know, I don't think that my demographic really likes to have, you know, really likes this, you know, my demographic is not necessarily the older reader. You may not actually know that. I mean, in some cases, I think obviously if you've written a young adult, I mean, that kind of goes without saying, I think you know, but if you have, like Amy was talking about, you know, historical fiction, genre fiction, you could be missing out on a whole segment of readers that don't necessarily subscribe to the quote unquote norm, you know, usual way that we market our books. So one of the things that I think about kind of where they get their information from, right? I know like a lot of my senior neighbors all still get the local paper, right? I haven't gotten the local paper in years. Like we just read it online.
But I do because I like the crossword puzzle, which maybe makes me a honorary senior. I don't know.
You're kind of an old person, Amy. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. So, I mean, okay. So you're the, obviously the exception, but you know, the local papers, I mean, you know, putting, getting to know your regional market, your local influencers. So not just the bigger papers, but also some of the smaller papers that get, you know, the paper, the, like we have a newspaper in my town, which is a freebie, which we all get. And getting to know those publications to get into those areas. And now I'm not necessarily suggesting you're like, oh, Penny, great. So I have to do all these small papers all across the country. I mean, I would start obviously with your area, but then you can kind of branch out into different parts of the country as you think. Like, so for example, whenever we've done a book event in Los Angeles, in the LA area somewhere, I mean, okay, so the LA Times comes to mind, great. The Orange County Register comes to mind, also good. But there are a ton of small papers that get, you know, both that serve some of these suburbs, but also some of the smaller ones that just are freebies that people often overlook. And you can find a lot of readers that way. In fact, I think we've done a show on, if I'm not mistaken, we've done so many shows at this point, but I think we've done a show on that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So. And I like, yes, absolutely. And I appreciate what you said about like, oh, Penny, now you're asking me to contact all these papers. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, but if you know or feel pretty solid about the fact that that's where a good chunk of your readers, how they're spending their time, the content they're consuming, it's so much more worth it than tossing things out on social media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That aren't going to convert. It's all time you spend. And so what you're used to doing may not feel like work, but it was at the beginning. So if what you're doing now isn't converting, you know, try something else, shift that energy into something else, you know?
Yeah.
I think another really big one for people that are not all over social, not all, you know, doing the trendy, you know, things, I will say the BookBub newsletter is a surprisingly, I think, kind of a sleeper thing that a lot of authors still don't utilize. And what's great about BookBub, and I'm not talking about the featured deals. Yes, go after those if you qualify. You do need to have a budget for those. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm specifically talking about the daily newsletter that BookBub sends out to readers, specifically based on their interests, which is where this really becomes, I think, more effective, Penny. So right. You can run BookBub ads that get placed in those daily newsletters that go out to very specific readers that have specific genre and topic preferences and things like that. And BookBub ads aren't expensive, you know, so it's just a really great way to get in front of people that are serious readers. Because if somebody's getting a BookBub newsletter, Penny, they're probably reading a lot of books, you know?
Yeah.
That is not a casual thing that people just sign up for, you know what I mean? For no reason. So again, quality over quantity, you know, look into BookBub ads and getting in front of those target readers. Another one, and this one, you know, we don't have control over this, but it's just something to keep in mind. Amazon, remember, they send emails to people if they follow you, if they follow certain authors. Amazon also does first reads. Anybody right. listening, if you're not familiar, Amazon sends out, I believe this is for Prime members specifically, but Amazon will send an email out at the beginning of the month and you have a free book credit to pick up a book by quite a number of authors, you know, actually, and across genres. And that's another way that people are finding that aren't all over social media, again, that are not doing a lot of these other, you know, kind of mainstream things that we think about now, that are not scouring the internet 24/7, you know, they're not on the phone all day long, but they do get on Amazon to find new books. And those first reads are also another big one. And don't count yourself out. First reads don't always mean bestsellers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I look through those every time they come in, honestly, just Penny, because I like to see what Amazon's including. And there's plenty of debut authors that make it onto the first reads list. I will say they all have fabulous covers though, which is very exciting. And one of the reasons I always click through.
Yeah, they do. No, you're right. They do absolutely have fabulous covers. I agree with that totally. I also think the other piece that's important to this, I mean, I think you were mentioning that your dad reads both print and ebook, but, you know, print books. So if you're running around and you just have an ebook, make sure that you have a print book. A large print book is a very overlooked, very much an overlooked format with authors, and large print books will help you. Libraries love large print books. So it's oftentimes easier to get into libraries if you have a large print book. And then doing local events, right? So doing local events, getting into your local community, because word of mouth is also a big piece to these books, even though, you know, the BookBub thing and the Amazon first credits, I think that's great, but the word of mouth is a big deal. So getting into your local area and any local areas really that are applicable to your book. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go, that you have to massively target like the villages in Florida because you're targeting older readers. Absolutely. That's a great idea. And if you've never been to the villages, it's like a whole town. I've done some conferences in Florida, writers conferences in Florida. And it's so interesting to see, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like a whole town. But, people retire obviously all over the country, but big retirement areas and things, if you are trying to target these local readers, I don't know that they're necessarily more inclined to share a book. Like, I don't know that they are like the best word of mouth recommendation, but certainly it's helpful. I mean, they're part of groups and they're going to, you know, different, they're retired, they're seeing friends, they're going to different events. So they're also just like, hey, I read this really good book. So there's a good word of mouth aspect to it too. The other thing is, I think we talked about, we did a show on this, I want to say 2 weeks ago, letter in the back of the book. So you want to put a letter in the back of your book. We take you through it. So if you, I forget now what the name of that episode is, but you're just going to have to go back and listen to some of our shows. It's a really good way to help to build your mailing list, to get people to sign up so that they know your next release. I mean, kind of like Amy, like with your dad, right? Like if he finds an author that he really likes, he's going to go back and read the older books, and he's going to be on the list to get the newer books, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's another aspect of the harder to reach reader that a lot of authors don't realize is, again, yeah, we've talked about how these typically super readers, they read a lot, they consume a lot, and they need to keep feeding that, you know? Yeah. So once they decide they like you, that's amazing. Those are future sales right there. And I agree with you, Penny, a letter in the back of the book that just keeps it very straightforward, you know, sign up to my newsletter so you can get new book release announcements. You know, I would say you don't have to be super flashy with this necessarily. These people are probably not going to be, not that you can't do this still, but just know they're not going to be as enticed with sign up for my newsletter so I can email you all this random stuff that's super cool. It's like, okay, that probably won't be, that won't be their trigger, but they do want to get updates on new releases. And right, so make sure they understand that that's what they're signing up for. And again, back to what you were saying, Penny, about word of mouth, you know, a newsletter is a great way to remind current fans how much you appreciate them mentioning your book to a friend or forwarding that newsletter to a friend. I mean, it's so simple to do. And so few authors take advantage of straight up asking, hey, please forward my newsletter to a friend of yours that enjoys, you know, this genre. I would very much appreciate it. It means a lot to me. Thanks for your continued support.
Yeah.
Like, short and sweet like that, people want to help. They just forget how easy it is for them to actually help authors that they like. And they will gladly forward that email and say, hey, I've read this book. It's pretty good. Check it out. Like, that is gold.
That is, you're absolutely right. And I think that we do forget how crucial, what a great tool that a newsletter is, both for forward this to a friend, let a friend know about this book, but also to ask, as you pointed out, to ask for what you want, like to get reviews and things like that. So newsletters serve a variety of purposes for sure. Amy, do you want to take the final one?
Yeah, this is just a reminder because we get this a lot because it feels productive. Sorry, now I'm burying the lead, but we do get a lot of authors that will come to us and say, well, I'm running social media ads. It's not doing much. I don't know what's wrong. You know, what could I be doing? And not to rag on social media, but it fits for this particular show that don't waste your time on efforts that are getting you nowhere. Time and money, candidly. You know, so if you know you're dealing with super readers that may not be all over social media, don't waste your time there. You know, put that time and energy, like we talked about at the top of the show, into contacting local papers.
Yeah.
You know, be, and Penny, you say it all the time. We repeat it all the time. Don't be everywhere. Be everywhere that matters. So this show hopefully is just a good reminder to everybody listening. Like, take a moment to really evaluate whether or not your marketing efforts are reaching the people that you really need to be reaching. And honestly, you know, I think it's a good thing if you're going, maybe they're not, because while it seems like, oh, now I have to try something different, I think that is, again, light at the end of the tunnel. That means you have potential opportunities you haven't tapped into yet that might make a huge difference in your ongoing sales conversions.
Yeah. I think that we don't spend enough time thinking about reaching readers in different age demographics. I think we spend, you know, we spend a whole lot of time talking about, okay, how to reach children's book, you know, readers and young adult, new adult and everything, but we don't really focus on, frankly, a group that maybe has a lot of time to read, right? And these are people that you could really start digging into. And a lot of the stuff.
Disposable income.
What?
And disposable income.
And disposable income. And I think a lot of the stuff that we tend to focus on, as you mentioned, is very flashy. And, you know, flash is great, but it doesn't necessarily always sell a book, right?
Certainly not long term, right? Like, there could be great flashy things, I think, for a launch, but as we talk about all the time, it's a lot more than just your launch.
Yeah. It's a lot more than just your launch. So we hope that this show has been helpful. We really appreciate reviews. I want to just give a shout out to some of the new reviews that we just got. Thank you so much for listening. Somebody posted a review like, oh, I'm cleaning my house while I'm listening to the podcast. So we're right there with you. When you're done cleaning your house, if you could please come over and clean ours, that would be amazing. But we love reviews and wherever you listen to podcasts. So thank you for making the effort. Because we also know, and Amy and I have talked about this, for whatever reason, Apple does not make it easy to review a podcast. But thank you for making the effort. And we love show ideas. So if you're struggling with something, or if you've heard a show and you're like, oh, I really wish they would address this, email us at info@amarketingexpert.com and we will add it to the queue. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.